Good evening. How are we all doing? Excellent. Thank you.
Wow,
thank you. They're coming. They're all coming. I'm going to call to order this special meeting for our budget hearing tonight here at 6:30. And I'm going to open that public hearing for fiscal year 2025 and 2026 budget. And we're going to have a presentation by Mr. Phil Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, and good evening, council members. So this is the annual required official public hearing for the fiscal year 2026 budget. This was advertised in the newspaper to start at 6:30. It is a requirement of state statute that it run as long as the huge crowd that is here to speak about the budget is allowed to speak. And so we're prepared to allow that to happen. I'll do a little bit of an overview first. So let's start with the org chart. So Aaron, if you want to open this up, I did email this out to all of you today. So this is kind of the updated one. Let me remind you, I guess, of kind of where we've been so far in this budget process. Way back on July 29th, we had our budget workshop. And I think I started that night by saying, this is the beginning of the beginning. and it is a long process. Well, tonight we're at the end of the end. So it's been a fairly long process of taking some extra time during that month to talk with you, to have you share some insights. We had the official proposal of the budget at the very last council meeting, which was August 26th. At that night, you made several really good suggestions and made some alterations to items in the budget, and all of that is reflected in the final numbers that are being presented to you tonight, including this version 3 of this particular org chart. It's a little harder to see some of the colors, so I'll try to highlight some. But basically, police department is located here. We not only have the current officer positions that are being hired right now, which end up being officer 19 and then a sergeant number 20, but you worked it out so that we could have for a full fiscal year two new positions, two numbers 21 and 22. So those are referenced on here. We also decided to move forward with what is currently a part-time animal control officer and replacing that position with a community service officer. So we're literally going to be doing away with one job description, bringing in a separate job description. The current person who's in that part-time position is more than welcome to apply for the other position, but it is technically a brand new position. So that's the police department. We are moving forward with one paid position, undecided right now exactly what the title might be, what the roles might be in the fire department. We budgeted just 3/4 of the year of funding for it, so we would not hire anybody before January of 2026 anyway, but that does give us a good 3 months to continue to work with the volunteer fire department, understand what their needs are, take their input, and decide what would be the best potential thing to go forward with. A couple positions here in the middle that are in the utilities area. One is a utility worker number one, as well as then a wastewater treatment plant operator over here. Both of those receive all of their funding from a combination of the water fund and the wastewater fund. So it doesn't impact general fund at all. So those positions are a little bit easier to be able to afford from that standpoint. And then finally over here on the far right hand side, the last couple positions, you did authorize to move forward with the additional deputy administrator position. So we'll be working on that job description, try to have most of the job descriptions that are for new positions to you at the next council meeting. So get those approved by the end of September so that we could begin hiring in early October. And then the last position is the IT assistant and GIS technician. And that GIS piece is going to be an important piece, but I would describe it as not a critical piece, that person will be available to us on staff to be doing kind of the basic elementary GIS work that right now we contract for. So it will be a financial shift instead of paying a contractor to being able to use that to help provide another employee who would be a great assistant to Tom at various times. So those are the organizational positions. Any questions you have for that? Otherwise, Aaron, let's go on to the next document. which is the budget summary. In this one, I was able to then finally put together the two pages that oftentimes you do see. This very first page, that we've looked at a couple different times. This basically lays out for you the tax asking that we're going to be laying before, or that you would be laying before the citizens. Up at the very top is the total valuation of the city. So again, only about 3.66% growth this year, which was much, much smaller than we've seen in recent years. Because of that and the new limitations that the state imposed, we were able to readjust some dollar amounts in the budget and not have to appear at the joint county meeting. So what we end up with down here, about in the middle of the page on the right-hand side, is the total tax asking compared to last year. We'll be talking more about that during the 7 o'clock meeting. And in fact, the setting of the levy, I'll talk more about here in just a minute as well. But the total tax asking this year would be the $3,158,601.30, which ends up being the maximum allowed to not have to attend that joint meeting, which this year computed out to be 2.92%, not 2.93, 2.92%. So we're staying within that boundary. Erin, look at the next page. This gives you on one page a synopsis of, well, no, sorry, it's on that same, it's in the same document, it's just the second page. Yeah. And this is one that that you hadn't seen yet this year, but it's on one page that shows you all the different departments and funds of the city, what the actual amount spent was from 2 years ago, what the current year's budget and estimate is, and then the right-hand column is this proposed budget. These numbers are all the same budgets for all of those big, long 11 by 17 inch documents that you have, but it's all concisely laid out on one page, and we'll see all of these numbers again later on then in the ordinance tonight for the funding. A couple quick things that I'd mentioned here. You'll notice at the very bottom of the page, Erin, if you scroll all the way down, the total for all of the funds, and ultimately that's really what you're approving. You're approving this bottom dollar amount to potentially be raised in whatever ways we're capable of raising that through property taxes, sales tax, fees, other purposes, and potentially spend it. And that number for this particular fiscal year would be $101,750,050.81, which is about a 10% increase from this last budget year. But I will remind you that number swings rapidly depending upon what kind of construction projects are going on. Also depends upon actually what kind of cash we're trying to have on hand. And so we're trying to save up some money for a potential city hall remodel someday. So all of that gets reflected in these numbers. So just because you see it doesn't mean we're going to spend it as real cash. It just simply means that it's available to us. But Erin, as you go back to the top of the page, you'll notice here for the total general fund, it's actually a decrease this year from last year as far as what was budgeted. But a lot of that's reflective of the fact that we had Generations Park that we were finishing up this last year and paying for, and that's all part of the general fund. Even though there were gift monies that were included in there, there was sales tax money that was there, it's all expensed through the general fund, and so we see some of those reductions in those particular categories. You'll see some other areas like water that are substantially more than what they were this year. And it's time to start paying off all of those bonds that were utilized to help pay for the construction. So we have a little bit of construction that will be finished up at the beginning of the year, and then mostly start making large payments on those bonds going forward. All right, Erin, if you close that document, let's see if there's any questions from anyone.
What do you attribute the big increase? I know we're going back as far as we do on the chart, the 23-24, 772,000. To 1.8 million now in 25-26, what do you attribute that?
And which line item are you looking at?
The very top one, general fund expense or administration.
Administration. And part of what you'll see is, keep in mind, we always budget for possibilities even though they may not actually happen. And so there's gonna be some substantial monies that may be in the budget category each year that don't reflect. But what you'll see here is actual spent 2 years ago, $770,000. That did go up to $1 million this last year, and obviously we've added some staff, and that gets reflected in that particular number. But we budgeted $1.6 million, and only ended up spending just a hair over $1 million, or that's what we're estimating if the rest of the year turns out. So next year now we budgeted 1.8 million compared to the 1.6 million that we budgeted this current year. I don't anticipate that we're going to spend that. And in fact, I know there's at least $750,000 to $1 million of that we want to hold on to as cash because we're trying to accumulate that for a future remodel someday. But that number gets reflected in that. So the more cash we have on hand, the bigger that number gets.
Okay.
So again, it's not always a number that means we're spending. It just means it's cash or resources available, if you will. So good question. The last two things that I just wanted to mention as part of my presentation is that we will be running another notice in the newspaper probably this coming Friday regarding this actual budget. And it's only because a couple of the numbers were slightly different. Aaron, if you want to bring up the notice there for V2. And you can take a look at V1, but let me just reference it. There's just two numbers that are on this chart that changed slightly. And the two numbers are shown in three different places, but it just ends up being two different numbers. The state has their budget form that you have to submit the budget to them inside that form. And in the state budget form, you automatically have to estimate for this current fiscal year what you think you'll spend, and then that rolls over as cash forward based on the resources that you think you'll have at the end of this year as well. There's no way to adjust those numbers at all. In our budget, in those big budget sheets that I've been giving you, I've been giving a slightly altered expectation of what I think is going to end up with. The state doesn't really care what might happen. It just has a hard number and says, well, if you typed in this number, this is all going to roll forward. And so that number was slightly different. And so it's this line here, which is called the total resources available, $101,750,050.80. Is slightly higher than what it was before at $100,774,864. So it was just a little bit of money in there. Mainly it was cash carried forward that the state form requires me to just leave that way. I can't adjust it at all. I'm able to adjust it on our own budget forms, which I did. I'm hoping our new software next year makes this a little bit simpler and easier for me. What we are not changing at all in this new notice is the level of taxation, the dollar amount that we're asking for, or any of those things that most of the citizens will be concerned with. And keep in mind that $101 million number, as we just talked about, includes cash on hand, includes money that we budget that we aren't going to spend. We don't know what subdivisions might get developed out there, so we've got money that's potentially set aside there. We'd only spend money if somebody decided to build a subdivision and we got bonds, and so cash would be coming in. All that money coming in and money going out is all counted in that $101 million. So it's almost kind of a weird phantom number, but it is slightly different than the one that was advertised previously. So that's why you'll notice that this is going to be in the newspaper. And you'll notice we even changed some of the language. Scroll up just a hair, Aaron. Changed some of the language here and went from future tense that the original notice said that we will be meeting on the 9th. This one now says we met on the 9th and went over these numbers. And you have to add some explanatory language. And so we added, this corrected notice shows a higher disbursement and total resources for this budget year, but the same tax requirements. So again, that's what's allowed by state law. If your numbers change slightly, but you're not asking for more in taxes, you just simply need to run this notice again and make that explanation. Any questions that you have for me? Otherwise, we'll open it up to the citizens. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any comments from the public? Having none, I will close the public hearing. And now I will open another public hearing on the proposed one-year plan for street improvements for fiscal year 2025 and 2026. Mr. Heaton.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thanks, Aaron. So yeah, each year, just like the budget hearing, we're also required to have a one-year street plan hearing. You may remember it as the 1-in-6 hearing. 2 years ago, the rules slightly changed. We only need to have a public hearing on our one-year plan, so that's what we're doing right now. And in your packets and on the screen is our one-year plan and also our six-year plan on the same map. And there's a lot on there. And it doesn't mean that we're going to do all of that this year. The one-year plan is kind of tricky because if we have even a block of milling and overlay that we want to do in this next fiscal year, and it's not on the one-year plan, we have to go back and amend that. So we kind of taken the approach as a catch-all of any and everything that we may end up doing, a Millen overlay, UBAS, New Street, gets on that one-year plan. So that's the majority of this is all the one-year plan. So all, it's kind of hard to see on here, but all of the red lines are the one-year plan, and then the blue would be the six-year plan. And you can see there is also in Spark is a list of each of the segments. There's a lot of potential Millen overlay projects or UBAS projects that staff will be looking at in the next couple months and then come back to you sometime early spring with a plan. Talking with Lowell and the street department guys, is I'd like to come up with an option A and B, whether we go all Millen overlay, all UBAS, or maybe an option C where we do a little bit of both. The UBAS, we can go cover more ground, but the pavement underneath has to be good enough to hold that. So there's some streets that are just too far gone to do UBAS.
It is a nice smooth drive in 66 Heights. I drove through there the other day. It was very nice.
And then I'll just kind of point out just a few of the six-year things. Primarily the North Bypass, and then any of that work on Hollow Road, which depending on funds and appetite, we may do an amendment to the one-year plan later on if we decide to do that work on Hollow Road, 25th Street, 30, County Road 31, later this fiscal year. And then there's also on the one-year plan would be the Honeybee Lane Road at the Blair Crossing of Apartments. That one's already in the works and is going to start, I believe, the Highway 133 work. You might see some work getting done yet this fall. And then the Highway 30 side would be next spring. And then, as Phil mentioned, there's a few kind of gap paving districts or money set aside for potential developments if that would happen. But those would only be done if needed. Happy to answer any questions anybody has.
So the North Bypass is annotated as being part of the six-year plan. Is that actually feasible?
I'm guessing it'll be in the six-year plan for more than 6 years.
I got you. Okay. I thought, like, that's fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, first time going through this, so a lot of these things, like I said, we put all extra stuff on the one-year plan that we know we want to get. We'll just roll that over in the next year, the same with the six-year. It's just kind of let we turn this into the state, and then they can kind of see what's on the horizon, what communities are doing, if there's any state, federal funding they may need to start planning ahead on. But we are in those initial phases of the North Bypass already designing and kind of giving a feel for where it might go. Hopefully it's not 35 years like the South Bypass, but I don't think we'll get it done in 6 years either.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments from the public on the 1 and 6 year plan?
I didn't want to go out and tell people. Hey,
having none, I will close public hearing. Next, I will open another public hearing to set fiscal year 2025-2026 levy different than fiscal year 2024-2025 levy. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Aaron, on the attachments, let's see what's out there. Under number 11. And if you want to bring up the summary sheets again, the top one. I've got those notices out there too, again, just so you can see how those numbers show up on that. But this is the required public hearing that has to be had whenever you're going to change the amount of the levy. And don't be confused, the levy can be used in two different ways. It can be referred, you can use the word levy to refer to the dollar amount of the tax asking or the request that we're making. You can also use the term levy then for that percentage or that number that people like to look at as how much per $100 of valuation you're gonna be assessing somebody. Both of those are the levy. Obviously they're related to each other because the county establishes the total value of all the real property that's within the corporate limits. When you decide then how much tax taking you're going to establish, then you run those numbers percentage-wise, and it comes up with that percentage. And so that's how all of these numbers are related. And we are asking for more this year, sort of change, in both the real dollar amount as well as the percentage. But the dollar amount's going up, the percentage is going down. And so I'll show you that number on this particular form. So here in the middle, again, is the total property tax levied. And what we're asking for is this right-hand column. Again, this is the maximum amount you could ask for and not go to the joint public hearing. And again, which is a combination then of the growth amount that you get from development inside the town, as well as 2%. And since growth this year from real developments was only 0.92%, add the 2% on that, that gets you that magical 2.92% that we have to stay with. And so the actual dollar amount asking would be going up to the $3,158,601.30 from last year's $68,993.50. Again, that 2.92% increase. But Aaron, as you slide down, just to bring it up so it's more in the center of the screen, if you could, here this bottom line represents, again, how that works out based on what the value is that was established for the city, and this number is going down. And so here's the total value of the city, again, grew by just 3.66% this year compared to those other numbers that are out there. Our levy is broken up into three separate funds, the general fund, debt fund, and street fund, and we're able to use those numbers, you know, in whatever proportion is necessary, both on the street side and on the debt side, and then the general fund, it kind of makes up the difference depending on how high you want to go. But ultimately, we're looking at this year a combination of 28.4501 cents per $100. Look in the newspaper with all of the public hearing notices that are being shown, and you will not find anybody close to that, municipal-wise. I think one of the other cities that's in the county was at 54 cents, 28. So when people complain, you know, and no one likes to pay taxes, I don't like to either, but when they do, remind them of how these numbers have dropped, you know, substantially. For a long, long period of time, we kind of maintained at about 35 cents. We're allowed to go to 45 cents plus five for debt purposes. So you could go all the way up to 50 without any kind of a special vote for a city of the first class. But because our valuation has been growing, we're able to, you know, take a reasonable amount of additional funds and yet have that actual levy number go down. And so this year it would drop by 4.81%, which means, again, for those people who, when they got their tax statements this year, if they didn't see any increase, or if it was an increase, it was no greater than 4.18%, they will actually see a tax decrease from the city this year. Now, the city only represents a small part, oftentimes 15 to 20%, of what their total tax payment is. We get blamed for most of it. But, you know, we're not the primary culprits usually, but we've, I think, been doing our part to try to keep that down. And so it's a reduction of the percentage down 4.18% because of the value increases that we've seen over the last few years. Any questions on either one of those numbers that are changing? The real dollar amount that's going up, but the actual levy then percentage that's going down.
Thank you.
Any comments from the public? Having none, I will close the public hearing. Would someone like to make a motion to close the meeting?
I'd like to make a motion to close the public hearing.
Or adjourn the meeting.
To adjourn the meeting.
Second.
We have a motion, a second, to adjourn our budget hearing. Please register your vote.
Council members, President Boney, aye.
Meeting adjourned.